南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Hi. Thanks for being here. Thanks for your practice. Thanks for your support. When you guys like, subscribe especially to these videos, helps the channel grow, helps the search algorithms offer this Sangha, this compendium of a resource for Buddhist practice to more people, yeah? So thank you for that Bodhisattva effort. All right. If I say quantum physics to you, do your eyes roll back in your head? You know what I mean. But you know, we're talking, I don't know how many videos we've done so far, on the Lankavatara, and I've talked about this thing about energy over and over and over again. But this dialogue between Shakyamuni and Mahamati, which, you know, to be sure, we understand that Mahamati isn't just one person, but in these expedient means, these stories, these teaching stories that Shakyamuni's created, he, in the storytelling medium with language, he can make a personage, a constructed personage of all sorts of different mentalities, tendencies and conditions, personalities, even goals and different types of understanding, different cultures. He can roll them into a persona. So Mahamati is basically the student, all of us, learning Buddhism, right? And so in this discourse that Shakyamuni's inventing to suss out, if you will, the concepts of Buddhism and the profundity of those concepts, because that's critical here. I mean, we can talk about the ball is blue, and it's very simple. We can talk about the color blue, why do we call it blue, how the eyes perceive light, and we can go down the rabbit hole of, right, neurons and atoms and blue actually not being the color of the ball, but blue being the only light spectrum being reflected by the ball. So in a way, the ball is everything but blue, but the blue escapes the ball, and so we see the ball as blue. Okay, the eyes are starting to roll. Right? So I put together four little slides. And the concept that I want you to consider for a moment, and it's actually the reason why I've called this Sangha, this independent practice that I am offering, Quantum Life Buddhism, isn't because I want to start another branch of Buddhism. Not at all. There's only one branch of Buddhism, and that's Shakyamuni's Buddhism. Okay, let's just get that out of the way. We practice Nichiren's scholarship of Shakyamuni's Buddhism, not Nichiren Buddhism, but Nichiren's scholarship, his Bodhisattva enlightenment of Shakyamuni's Buddhism. Yeah? And all of that. We've talked about that before. So I'm not trying to invent anything new here. But I am wanting to introduce something that's very, very modern. And I think it's helpful to get past that stumbling block that Mahamati is expressing. We are physical beings. We experience the world as physical. We are physical. Our senses are for touching, smelling, tasting, hearing, seeing. What? The physical, right? There's some physical stuff we can't even see, quote unquote, like steam, not water vapor, but superheated steam. It's invisible. It's just radiating heat, which itself you can see evidence of, but you don't see it. Anyway, point made. So whether you're a scientist or not, even in cartoons today, you will hear things like, well, certainly you've heard of quantum mechanics and quantum theory. If it's a curiosity of yours, or if you've just stumbled across it, you will hear people talk about the measurement problem. What's that? Get a tape measure, measure it. What's the problem? There is something that has been confounding physicists, particle physicists, all types of physicists, for a long time, since the early 20th century. They've been trying to figure out, we know the laws of quantum. They work. Mathematically, they work. Every time we try to observe and test what we think quantum is saying about the physical world, it works elegantly. But we've found ourselves looking at these obvious mathematical descriptions of our physical universe, and it all agrees with our observation, but we can't quite grasp how that's happening. When is the decision? Who's the decider? And there's the very problem. And this is why I'm introducing this to you today, because this is a problem that Shakyamuni found, identified as the primary cause of our day-to-day stress, anxiety, suffering, quote-unquote. And Buddhism is the way out. So, what is that? And the best scientific description, mental, intellectual, researched, factual description of that, not mystical. Remember, I'm always telling you, Buddhism isn't about mysticism or magic. It's about actual experience. The stuff of reality. What are we experiencing? All those questions. Who am I? Who am I? What am I doing here? Why these things? Why not? And more to the point, why isn't Mahamati able to let go of the words and struggling so hard to identify and enumerate what is Buddhahood? And quantum answers that question. It's not discussed from a Buddhist perspective. And that's the irony, is that here is the answer in our hands, so to speak. And the describers are mathematicians and physicists and scientists who use the language of the physical world to describe something they are struggling to understand. Well, guess what? The whole scientific community of the world is Mahamati. And I want to offer you an insight that will give you a one-up on all the scientists and Nobel Peace Prize winners of the world. How about that? When it comes to quantum, And believe me, this will be simple, so don't tune out. And I've got these slides I'm going to put up, right? So first slide, number one. The divergent two main interpretations of quantum, the measurement problem, are the Copenhagen, which in my view is strictly physical, and the many worlds, which all of you have probably heard that statement, many worlds, and you think, oh, it's like a bubble bath of universes, multiverses, everything that can happen is happening all the time. That's not correct. And the people who talk about it promote this incorrectness. So it's no wonder we're all confused, yeah? So you may have heard of the Schrodinger's cat experiment. It's in cartoons, so it's pretty reasonable to assume you've come across it at some point. And you may have tuned out, or you may have read even Schrodinger's cat, the book. It was Schrodinger was kind of fed up about this quantum thing, as you might be, thinking, look, this is ridiculous. And he sends a note, or, Einstein, Bohr, Heisinger, all of these people, Schrodinger, they did things like little thought experiments and riddles they would send to each other and go, well, how would you solve this? If this is what you're saying, then, you know, prove or disprove this or whatever. It was a way of dismantling, you know, what the math might say and what might be ridiculous. And so Schrodinger invented this cat experiment as a way to discredit quantum. He didn't like it. He said, look, okay, what you're saying to me is I put a cat in a box and I put a radioactive isotope in there. Why a radioactive isotope? Because radioactive material decays, right? It throws off an electron every now and again. It radiates. But there's no way to predict when that decay is going to happen. You've heard, like, the half-life of a half-life can be 50 years or 100 years or 1,000 years, which means that any time in that 500-year lifetime of that atom or molecule, it could, but you can't tell when, release radioactive ions. There's no way of knowing. Could happen right now. It could be 500 years before. It's just somewhere in that period, it will radiate. Right? It's a really terrible clock, isn't it? So Schrodinger's experiment says, let's put one of those terrible clocks in a box with the cat, with enough of dose of a radiation that if and when it releases it, it'll kill the cat. Okay? And so we put that in the box. But wait a minute. That's not enough. He introduces another element, the hammer that's suspended on a mechanism that the cat might accidentally trip. And when he trips it, the hammer falls, breaks a glass container that has the radioactive ion or material in it. So another level of complexity. Doesn't mean the radioactivity is released when the hammer breaks it. It's just more possible. And now he puts all of this in the box, puts the cat in there, closes the box. And then he says, okay, guys, is the cat live or dead? Ridiculous, right? How can you possibly know? And then he says, so what quantum is telling me, my friends, is that in this moment with the box closed, the cat is both alive and dead. He was talking about something that you may have heard of called superposition. The wave function, in that everything in the world, every atom, every electron, every photon, every quark, physical things, which, as I've described before, aren't physical things. They're collections of energy in different form, right? We know this. Anyway, that everything exists in superposition until you open the box. Then somehow by observation, measurement, boom, the decision is made. The cat's alive, the cat's dead. But until you open the box, the superposition of catness exists. Until you open the box and then boom, you measure it, you observe it, there it is, dead, there it is, alive. Equation solved. This is that problem of the wave function, that everything exists as a wave, both a wave and a particle. That's the problem. See, the physical scientist, the physical mind, the mind of duality wants to identify is or isn't. And what do you hear Buddha saying all the time? Shakyamuni, it's not about exists or doesn't exist, sameness or otherness, or not otherness. See, Shakyamuni goes a step further. It's not that it exists or doesn't exist, or doesn't not exist. He adds that tertiary form. What does he mean by that, right? You've all wondered when you read, what the hell is he talking about? Not, double negatives. What is he saying? That everything doesn't exist, but when it doesn't exist, it exists. And you get lost in the words, right? So on these slides I'm putting up, and now we'll go with slide number 2. On the one side, there is what Shakyamuni identifies, the physical interpretation of the world is dualistic, right? And I have the two faces, the happy and sad, live, dead, is or isn't, exist, doesn't exist. But on the other side of the page, I have the observer, the almighty observer, yeah? But what is there is potential. What physicists want to call superposition, which are still admired in the idea of is and isn't, Shakyamuni says, see it more like a cloud. There isn't and isn't and not isn't and all of that. It doesn't belong. What exists is potential. Energy, if you like, but it's unmanifested. So you can't identify it. And that's closer to what the many worlds interpretation of quantum is saying, is that it's just superposition isn't something moving from in and out. It's just the possibility of whatever, in, out, sideways, whatever. Unsubstantiated. And then if we go to slide, I think it's slide 3. What's important to realize about the many worlds interpretation from a Buddhist perspective and from a physicist perspective is that the observer is also a quantum system in the same system. Isn't that exactly what Buddhism says? You and I, moment to moment, are re-instantiating this freight train of karma, energies, informations, with tendencies and conditions. Yeah? Sorry about that. One of my toilets decided the potential to flush itself was more important than manifesting quietude. All right. So where was I? So ultimately, what Shakyamuni is talking about and what I'm identifying in quantum, this potentialism, this idea that we understand scientifically that all matter is composed of energetic or energy in various manifestations and combinations. And that those manifestations occur within the tendencies and conditions of occurring. That, and the dimension that's so beautiful in many worlds, in quantum, in Shakyamuni's teaching, is that the physical dualistic world is the same mind, but a mind enmired in physical existence, and therefore defines all of reality, in other words, human experience, because that's what reality is, as made of stuff. Even in quantum, the question is, where's the stuff come from? Where's the stuff go? How do we experience this particular stuff? And why is it dependent that that stuff exists or doesn't exist on us, the observer? Gosh, you're so close. You're just missing the point. Shakyamuni is saying, hey, you're that also. In every moment to moment of your life, your big brain, your experience is also happening or not happening, or happening in a certain compounding kinetic momentum through time way, that you yourself are an expression of the potential we call life. Moment to moment, you're potentialing. Ask yourself how much language we have about this without recognizing what's happening. I changed my mind. You changed your mind. What'd you do? You go in there and take out 400 397 by XYZ 494 and pull that atom out and you put a different one in. Changed my mind. Well, yeah. But you did not do it physically. You did it through your mind. Your mind is capable of experiencing so much more than the stuff in life. So much more that the stuff in life becomes just a support, like the canvas for a painting. Be the painter. Be amazed by the process of painting. Don't argue over the support. What are you doing? So, maybe Mahamati, we will understand more clearly what Shakyamuni's pointing to here. It's not the stuff. It's the way the stuff exists, including you stuff, me stuff, suchnesses. Things in constant process of instantiating. You, me, chair, computer, everything's doing the same thing. Potentialing. This is why we can embrace it rather than being victims of it and or awaiting on it. When's that going to happen? Be the life you want. And experience the life without the tendrils of ownership and dragging it along. What are you doing? That's not how the universe works. That's not how life works. No wonder you're suffering. Trying to make the past exist now. What a ridiculous thing. Oh, it's so simple, yeah? All right, keep chanting. Thank you for listening. I hope these little slides help you maybe get the idea a little better. If nothing else, understanding why I call this school of mine the Quantum Life Buddhist School, not because it's a different kind of Buddhism, but because it's a different kind of understanding of Shakyamuni's Buddhism, a modern understanding, like Nichiren did. He's our mentor in that regard, yeah? Live in Myoho Renge Kyo every moment of your life. And now, after this short video, we'll get back into the Lankavatara and see if any of this makes any sense. Thanks. Thanks again. Thanks for your practice, mostly. Take care of your health. And I'll see you in the next one. Promise. Bye for now.